everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Frangamini. I'm going to be your host here for this week, where we're telling you what's going on this week at the Comedy Castle. We're going up a day late, guys. I really worked hard to get J.R. DeGuzman on the show. It took me till Wednesday, not Tuesday. I'm not sure the actual number of emails it took. It could be a dozen. It's probably a little bit less than that, but that's a lot of emails, but it's worth it. JR is awesome. He's our weekend headliner. We'll tell you about JR in a second, but we got a great Sunday show this week, too. So let's tell you everything that's going on this week. As I speak to you, it is Wednesday, May 14th, and there is an open mic night. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., you can just show up and pay your money to open mic. I think it's $5 to get in. You'll have a great time. Always a fun mix of comics on the open mic night for your $5. I believe there's some of Bill Bishart's comedy students that are going to be doing their thing as well tonight. So it's a little bit of a hybrid show, but it's still $5 to get in. Open mic night, the best deal in comedy. It's awesome. Go to open mic night. And then this weekend, our headliner is J.R. DeGuzman. The Boyfriend Material Tour is the name of it. I interviewed J.R. I really like J.R. I thought this dude was awesome. I thought he was really fun to talk to. Nice guy, smart guy. He does some music and comedy put together. He does a lot of jokes about being Filipino and the Filipino people, and they really come out to support JR. He also tells me in this interview that he was in Royal Oak before at the big theater, at the Royal Oak Music Theater. But he's at the Comedy Castle for 5 shows, 7:30 on Thursday the 15th, 7:15 and 9:45 are your Friday shows. Saturday at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m., that's the 17th. And then Sunday the 18th, Kevin James Thornton comes in. Kevin's a great guy, man. He's so funny. If you don't know Kevin, he does some sound effect type of things with his mic, which is really interesting. And, you know, he grew up gay in a religious community. And there's a lot of jokes about that. And I'm assuming he's not terribly religious right now. I'm making an assumption. I don't know. But Kevin's been with us before. He was a big hit. So he's back. So it's going to be a great week. So you got a lot of opportunities to get out to the Comedy Castle to see one of these comics this weekend. Because we got good ones. We got a really good lineup this week. Sunday show, fun open mic. JR is really great. I mean, I've got to tell you, I mean, the thing about JR is I didn't really know this guy. And it's sort of the fact of comedy right now is that you can have guys that play theaters or do weekends at the Comedy Castle and you've never heard of them. You know, back in the 80s, you knew who all the comics were, who could draw anyway. You know, the guys who had the HBO specials, maybe you saw them at A&E's Evening at the Improv or something like that. I mean, we're talking pre-Comedy Central. And then even when Comedy Central came along and people were getting those premium blend spots and they'd get their Comedy Central half hour, like you could keep up with it. You could follow these people. You knew who they were. Now you can't. So JR comes to us as a guy who, you know, was at the Royal Oak Music Theater not that long ago. He said it was a couple years ago. And we've got him for the weekend. And you know, he's going to do great. Tickets are moving. You know, again, that Filipino following that he has, he's a young guy. You'll hear us talk about that in the interview. And he does a blend of music and comedy that is refreshing because the music's real good. This guy can sing. This dude can play. You know, we've seen other guitar acts in the past. And some of them, even if they're real funny, the musicality is maybe a little lacking. And we'll hear me talk to JR about that, the amateur guitar player that I am. I gave him a high compliment when I compared him to a famous musician. You'll hear that in the interview. But, yeah, come out for JR this weekend. It's going to be great. 5 shows. Kevin James Thornton on Sunday. Should be a great week at the Comedy Castle. We had a great week last week with Drew Lynch. My students performed and did their thing as well. My students graduated the advanced comedy class. I started a new one. So if you're interested in the comedy classes, get a hold of the Comedy Castle. We'll tell you when they all start. But got a new class going. That's always exciting. And the old class, you guys did great, too. If you were in the previous class, all those guys, you know who you are. Joe the Animal amongst them. We had a nice showcase. You guys did a great job. I'm really proud of you guys. Anyway, let's just get into this interview, right? Enough talking. Let's just get into it. J.R. DeGuzman, what else did we cover? I told you. I compared him to a famous musician. He's got a great style of playing guitar. He started in a comedy class. I found that interesting. You'll get some stories about that, why he thinks it's a good thing. We'll talk about his new special, which is called I'm Your Son, Papa, which I watched preparing for this. And we'll figure out if I should go to the Jollibee. I've heard about the Jollibee. It's Filipino-style fast food. I guess it's in Philippines. I don't know. Never been there. But they're all over the States, and some people swear by Jollibee. We're talking not even Filipinos, just regular, you know, whatever people, you know. I'm not saying regular people. Filipino people are regular people. But non-ethnic Filipinos love Jollibee. I don't know. He tells us what's at Jollibee. Figure out if I should go there. Anyway, it's all in this interview. What a nice dude. It was a pleasure to talk to him. Let's have you listen right now to J.R. DeGuzman. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, I am chuffed, I guess. That's a British word. But I'm excited that J.R. DeGuzman is talking to me today. Hey, J.R., how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, you're flying to Detroit today.
Yes. Yep. I'm about to get on the flight.
So thanks for taking the time, man. I've really enjoyed watching your stuff the last couple of days here when I knew I was going to talk
thanks,
to you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's nice.
Thanks.
Because, yeah, first of all, you're a young dude, right? How old are you right now?
I'm 35. So
35.
I'm young light, or what's the opposite of young? You know, I'm no longer a new face.
No.
I'm a face.
Yeah, but it's like, I feel like with the amount of success you've had at 35, that's amazing.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I
knew I wanted to go into comedy pretty early, and I feel like that's always lucky.
Yeah.
And especially because I didn't really have anything else lined up when I was when I was young.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm not really sure what else I'm going to do. So I think that kind of the universe has forced me to keep going.
Well, how old were you when you first stepped on stage?
I was 21.
That's 21. A good age.
Now, you know what?
Yeah.
I think it might have been right before my 21st birthday.
Okay.
Because I remember I couldn't get into one of the bars.
Exactly. Yeah.
To do a mic. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have this guy. Used to throw this guy out of my open mic. He was 17.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, look, here's what's going to happen. You're going to perform, and then I'm going to tell you to leave.
Exactly. Exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do to this guy. I felt bad about it, but I was like, yeah, got to go.
You know, but that's probably like a good stamp for him. Like, that shows how dedicated he was. And also, that's like a good way to sneak into bars is doing stand-up. At times.
So how did you actually get on stage then? What was the path to that? Where did you decide to go? Open mic? What'd you do?
Yeah. So I took a few comedy classes. I went to college at UC Davis, and I would always show my buddies stand-up specials on DVD. Remember those?
Yeah.
And I would come home to my, like, the apartment that we were all at, my roommates and I, and show them, like, I think it was, like, Daniel Tosh, and then there was also Zach Galifianakis, like, Live at the Purple Onion, a bunch of random, like, DVDs. I don't even remember how I got these DVDs back then. And so my buddy was like, hey, the drama department has a stand-up comedy class. And that's sort of kind of how I got started and got hooked. There was another club in Sacramento called the Sacramento Comedy Spot. And I took their stand-up class, and the graduation was basically a set for the open mic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we do it at the club, too. Everybody does a showcase at the end of it. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So how does that work? How does your guys' run? I love hearing about...
Yeah, well...
Because it gets so many people started. You
it
know,
does.
Like,
well, we have a beginner class, which is really just for anybody. And a lot of those people that take the beginner comedy class, they just go do it because it's like, hey, it's your birthday. Here's a gift of comedy class. And so you meet for a few weeks with the instructor, and then you go do a showcase. And that's really all it is. And then I teach what's called the advanced comedy class at Comedy Castle. And I teach you how to be a comic, like a working comic, a road comic.
Totally.
So that's really for people that really want to do it like you do, like touring and really doing it professionally, hosting shows and that kind of stuff. And so that's a little bit advanced. But yeah, after the end of the at the end of the class, we do a showcase. And then
well, it makes sense because no one really tells you in the beginning. Like, I mean, you kind of if you find like different vets and stuff, it's good. But it's nice to have somebody really condense it all for you.
Absolutely,
like, this is kind of what the path looks like.
Sure,
you think you want to do that?
And then you know, some of our acts, you know, and Mark Ridley, you know, our owner of the Comedy Castle, he thinks that that's really good training. Like, he's training the next generation of comics that are going to work his club. And some of our students that have gone through my class are headlining the club now. So,
awesome.
So it's really nice training ground for people, and you should really do it. I guess there's probably, you always hear that there's like these scam guys teaching classes and stuff too, but
sure.
I'm not a scam guy. And then the other Bill Bouchard, who works with me, you know, he doesn't do that either. And sounds like you had a great experience. So I don't know.
Oh yeah. I think you just got to have somebody that there's scams and everything, you know, like it's like, you can find somebody anywhere that does it, but it's kind of like what you're saying reminds me of, you know, I do music in my act. It's like that where you hear, you know, like a comedy class or like, oh, musical comedian. And people think there's like, if you had a bad experience, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you almost have to go above and beyond to show like, no, I'm legit. I swear. Yeah. Like,
no,
but, I think it's just other people who left a bad experience for everybody else.
Well, look, I've seen, you know, one of the things in your special that I liked is the music is so good that it's not, you know, we've all seen these guys on the road. I used to open for them on the road. You know, I'd go to the down south and stuff, and there'd be these guys with guitar, and they could barely play guitar. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They were up there strumming, and they made something funny, and they'd, you know, do a cover of some song and change the words to something naughty. And audiences loved it and stuff, but it did feel like it was kind of samey. Like, you see these guys and all the same. When I watch you play, now I'm a very, very amateur guitar player, okay? I feel like you can really play that thing, man. I'm watching your thumb is over the neck and stuff. I'm like, this guy's good. Am I right about that?
That's all you got to do. You got to put the thumb over the neck.
I can't put the thumb over the neck.
This guy knows some stuff.
I think he does.
You know, I learned that from, there was a few like blues artists and jazz artists who would do that because when I was younger, I learned at like 17.
Okay.
I hated doing bar chords like pressing everything down with that one finger. So I was like, all right, this is a little bit easier. And then it just kind of stuck stylistically.
Yeah.
But I'll do bar chords now, but it's so much more fun to just put your thumb over
great.
And like,
I'm not kissing your ass because you're on the show or whatever, and I'm going to see you this weekend at the club. I got John Mayer vibes watching you play guitar.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man.
He kind
of
plays in that style. Was he an influence of yours musically?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's like basically how I learned how to play guitar.
There you go, man.
That whole album, Where the Light Is.
Okay.
One of my favorite albums. Yeah.
I love John, too. Never met John. You ever meet John?
No.
They say John's real funny.
Yeah. He did a set back in the day, like at the Laugh Factory, I think.
Okay,
have you seen that?
Cool. No, I've never seen it. I should watch that.
He's not like, it's like, oh, he's going to be an amazing comic. It's not like that at all. But it's like, okay, for a guy who has dedicated his whole life to music, but is a fan of comedy, he's like pretty good. You kind of were hoping for him to not be good at this thing. He's pretty good at it.
You want to hate the guy. He's good looking. He can play the guitar like a demon, and he's funny.
He has that dream.
Yeah. Hate. That's why guys hate him. When I started playing guitar, like, I don't think I liked him. Then I started playing guitar, and I went like, oh, this guy's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
I changed
my
tune real quick, you know. And I sat 10 feet from him at a wrestling show.
Oh, wow.
For like 3 hours, I was 10 feet from John Mayer.
Had you talked to him at all?
No, I didn't talk to him. He had like kind of a crew with him, and I don't know what I was going to say. I mean, I was 45 years old at the time. I felt like a nerd. Really going
out there.
But it was cool to just see him watch wrestling. It was fun.
That's so cool. That feeling that you're describing, it reminds me of like meeting pro athletes, because they're basically, like, now that I'm 35, they're like, I realized, wow, you're so young. You're like a 22-year-old or 21-year-old, depending on what their rookie season is. And I'm like, oh, dude, you're great, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, man, you have, like, you still got so much to experience.
Yeah.
But
that's one of the things about, you know, the music, and, you know, you bury the guitar at the end of that special. What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say it was some cool, meaningful thing.
It could be.
The director of it, my good friend Matt Salicuse, he was just like, we had this whole like Western kind of theme going. Mm-hmm. He just thought it'd be a cool idea to have as like a closer outro thing.
You're in Vegas and stuff. But people could take it, go like, okay, he's giving up the guitar. He's just going to go just talking to that mic straight.
Yeah. You know how many people texted me after that being like, are you quitting comedy? Or like, are you not doing the guitar anymore? Yeah. And I was like, oh, no, no, no. Just like we had this idea and we had a really cheap like used guitar.
Exactly. You didn't bury the nice one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no. The nice one is sitting here next to me. Yeah.
That is, what is that guitar, by the way, just as a guitar nerd? What is that? That really, yeah, that thing in the special? Because it's got really nice grain and it's really sweet looking.
Yeah. So the one from the special, it's a Cole Clark. The brand is a Cole Clark and this Australian brand.
All right.
And the reason I got this specific one is it's really good for live show recording.
Okay.
Like very niche. Like if you're recording something for a live show on acoustic, it it has a really good sound. Yeah.
Nice. It's beautiful too. I love it.
But I usually play a lot of Taylors. Taylors.
Okay.
Are kind
I've
of
seen
my
you
go-tos.
Play Taylors in some of your clips. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Right. Yeah. What do you have?
I play a couple guitars. Nothing expensive. The mm-hmm. latest thing I bought is a Sire S7, which is a Strat-y type thing.
Yeah,
that's made in Indonesia. Best. Pretty nice. Yeah, that's way easy to play.
Yeah,
because
cool.
here's what I picked up when I wanted to play guitar, because I was kind of into guys who played like 335s. Mm-hmm. So I got a big Epiphone Sheraton, which is the big semi-hollow thing. It's like a 335 mm-hmm. style, and that thing's hard to play. It still's hard to play after years.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too much sitting on my knee. You know, if you strap it on, it's better to play. But I realize,
I agree with that.
Yeah, you gotta sit down and play these things when you're learning.
Yeah. I feel like so many things in life, it's like make it easier to get to than harder. Like, and especially guitar. Like I would tell people who wanted to learn, like they were like, oh, I want to learn this complicated scale or thing. I'm like, find a song that you like and it's fun to play and it's easy.
Yeah.
And then you'll just keep picking it up every day and playing that song and slowly grow.
Right,
but
that's the thing. You you were a guitar teacher, right? That I read that in your bio.
Yeah, so I was a music teacher. I taught voice, guitar, and drums when I was younger.
Yeah,
I kind of just did it because I was doing stand up already, mm-hmm. and it was like, you know, I want to do something where I'm still practicing the things that I like.
Yeah,
music was definitely like my first passion. Right. I thought I was going to be like a rock star. Like that was the path I wanted to go on. And then instead I'm like, you know, singing songs about like Asian guys can smash, conservative in the streets, liberal in the sheets.
Yeah, those are all great, man. I heard all those. It's terrific.
Oh, thanks.
Let's talk about your, you're Filipino. Just looking at clips and they cut to the crowd. You must mm-hmm. have a giant Filipino audience that comes out and supports you, it seems like.
Oh, definitely, man. Filipinos, it's like they can smell in another Filipinos in town. You know, like, oh, he's here. But yeah, it's so cool. Like, literally, if you're just a little bit, like, I think Filipinos are so excited to see somebody representing them.
Right.
Like Manny Pacquiao, Olivia Rodrigo is part Filipino.
Didn't know that.
It's like in the Filipino community, it gets out. Like if you're a little Filipino. I was just at this gala this weekend called the Gold Gala, and we took a picture. Basically, like all the Filipinos who were at the gala took one giant picture together at the end too.
Cool. So a lot of support there from the Filipino community. There.
Yeah, definitely. And we also do a thing, I don't know if like we always, even if you're just a family friend, it's like you're a cousin or an aunt or an uncle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get that. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone has like a huge family.
And then, cause I know, like at our club, the guy who came in, now you probably know this cause you're Filipino, but Rob Schneider came to the club a couple times. Right.
Cool. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, Rob's got Filipino family and all they live in Michigan, all these aunties of Rob. All these,
oh, no way.
All these old Filipino ladies showed up, and Rob's like, let them backstage. They're my aunts.
Yes, yes. I totally believe it. Yeah, I remember finding out Rob Schneider was half Filipino when I was a kid, and I was like so excited. I was like, what? He's one of us?
What are you?
It's crazy.
There you go, man. All right, so let's talk about just your style, what's going to happen on stage. People come out this weekend. You're taking, in as far as I can tell, in the special, you are asking for requests. Are people requesting songs that they know you do, or are they just yelling stuff out and you're making it up? What's going on there?
The latter. Like, I'll usually have people yell out, like, a topic and make a song about that. But this year I've actually gone above, or not above, but, like, a little bit more prep where I'll ask online for topics.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, maybe write, like, a minute-long song for that city.
Okay.
So, like, I did a song for Ontario, California, which is, like, an hour and a half east of L.A., basically called You Are Not L.A., because, like, everybody in Ontario always says, like, oh, yeah, I'm from L.A. Like, oh, yeah, which part? Like, Ontario. And it's, like, super far out from there. So that was one that I wrote for them. And then for Detroit, Royal Oak, I don't really know yet. Yeah, what do you?
I'll help you. I got
topics?
You. Listen, you're halfway there. You are not Detroit. That would kill. Because Royal Oak is not Detroit. And we say we're, you know, I'm from Ferndale, Michigan, which is right down the road, just a little south of Royal Oak. And you know, we say we're from Detroit, but Detroiters don't like when you say you're from Detroit if you're not from the actual city of Detroit.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that
similar vibe.
You repurpose that thing. And I'm telling you, that's a killer right there. Because, you know, Royal Oak is a very cute place.
Okay.
Detroit is not cute, but Royal Oak is.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I remember when I was coming through to Royal Oak and we were driving through Detroit. I'm like, whoa, okay, so this is Detroit. And then all of a sudden it got to this quaint, cute, like, like hip area with like motels turned into like a boutique hotel.
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, what is this place? This is Royal Oak. So for the crowds coming to Royal Oak or Comedy Castle, would they be more of like from the Detroit area or more from the Royal Oak area or everywhere?
They're from all over because it's so central that, you know, our club really kind of draws from, you know, all the areas, you know, so they might be from Detroit. You know, we're in Royal Oak is in Oakland County, which is a huge county. And Royal Oak's kind of on the south side of it, so a lot of people come in. People are coming from hours away. People come from Canada to the Comedy Castle. So if they're from, like, Windsor or Sarnia, Ontario, they can just come over, and it's, like, 30 or 40 minutes to get to our club from Canada. You'll have Canadians in the crowd. So it's kind of people from everywhere. Royal Oak itself isn't a huge city. You know, there's only, I don't know if there's 50,000 people there or something. But the area is millions, so they all come.
Wow. I hear really good things about the club. Like everyone, all the comics that I've talked to that have gone through there really like the crowds there. It's really fun.
The club was founded in 1979. So
that's, great time.
That's success. That's success, man. 40, was it now? 46 years.
46?
Yeah, 46 years. It's amazing. And Mark's still around. And Mark, you know, I don't know if he'll be there this weekend. He was at the club last weekend hanging out watching the shows. And
Dude, who was there last weekend?
Drew Lynch.
Drew. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we love Drew.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Drew Lynch.
He's living in, like, Vermont, right?
I don't know. He didn't bring that up, but okay.
Okay.
That's
I know. I'm always interested in comics who aren't in, like, L.A. or New York. Yeah. You know, I'm always curious about it. Because I live in San Diego.
Okay.
And that was also, it's not, like, a super, like, okay, I'm going to leave L.A. or leave New York, but comics who are making it happen outside of LA or New York, I'm always just fascinated. Like, okay, what do you do? You know, you're kind of running your own ship.
Well, some people just want to live because I know I talk to all the headliners doing the show and you know, I work. I'm one of the door guys at the club and I do the tech.
Sweet, man. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm glad I get to see you this weekend.
We'll hang out. Yeah, but like a lot of them are like they move to Nashville. They move to like, you know, because it's like, well, the flights are good. You know, it's like they don't have that West Coast flight anymore, and it's a little bit cheaper. Yeah. And then, you know, Tom Green, who's a regular art club, you know, he moved to Canada. He moved back to Canada because he was, like, done with L.A., and he's like, I can just live here, and it's cheap. And all that stuff. Yeah. And I would drive him around Detroit to go to like radio gigs and stuff. And he'd be like, what do these houses cost here, Joel? I might move to Detroit. You know, he'd see some nice, nice homes and he'd be like, I think I'm going to live here. It's nice.
Oh, he really meant it. You know,
he really meant it. Yeah, he wasn't messing around. He ended up moving to Canada, but still, you know.
Well, it's comics, you get to see the whole country and like, so you know when something has value, even if it's not like the crazy expensive city, you're like, oh, wow, like this city has all the things that I would like when I'm touring.
Sure.
And so, okay, maybe I'll live here.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that San Diego weather, it's going to be hard to give that up, though, I think.
Man, San Diego has made me so soft. Like, I'll travel anywhere else in the country, and it's like 60, and I'm like, oh, it's cold here.
We had a comic, and don't be afraid. Well, you'll tell me this privately, but we had a comic recently who was from Southern California, and they go, I need a space heater in the green room.
Oh, that's so funny.
To just crank the heat. And we're like, okay, man, whatever. But, it was 75 degrees outside. It was just like a spring day.
Oh, my gosh.
Had this thing. And I would go back there to, do the, I start the show from back there, do the offstage. And it must have been, it was 85 degrees back there. And I was sweating. You can't be cold here.
That's
it's
wild. Yeah. That's wild. Ridiculous. So for a song, right? Actually, you're a good person to ask.
Yeah.
Any other topics about like the Detroit or surrounding area? I'm trying to think of things.
There's a Pizza Wars with Detroit has its own style of pizza, and that's a popular topic. People talk about Eminem. 8 Mile. 8 Mile's
cool.
8 Mile is the dividing line between the suburbs and the city of Detroit, and so that's a big thing there. People talk about that. Sports teams, big sports town.
Awesome.
Detroit Lions,
Pistons,
huge. Tigers.
Pistons did well this year.
Pistons, Pistons were in the playoffs. Tigers are first place in the American League right now. So,
wow.
I don't know. Tigers beat the Padres in the '84 World Series. I know that.
Yeah.
If you want to go way back.
I wonder what it is about your city or Detroit. This year, or the last few years especially, all the teams have kind of, like, come up.
A little bit. Red Wings got to do some work, but,
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just, I think people are really passionate about sports in Michigan, and like everybody plays sports as a kid in Michigan because we get all the seasons, so you can ice skate because it's cold.
Yeah.
And, football's huge, basketball, all the sports are really big. And so everybody plays a sport as a kid. Everybody follows the sports. And honestly, there's not a whole lot else to do. In the wintertime, it's football, it's hockey, it's basketball, in the summer, we go outside Comerica Park, watch the Tigers. Something to do.
Cool.
And, maybe other people don't have that, Floridians and, they got stuff to do. I go to the beach. We got beaches, but they're lakes.
Yeah, I grew up in Sacramento, so we didn't have any of the snow sports, but it was also kind of like a sports city just because it's a small town, like, city. It's a city with a small town feel.
Yeah.
So, like, all you would do is, like, play sports as a kid, go to a park and soccer, football, or basketball.
There you go.
But only, we didn't really have any cold sports, which I definitely wished. Are you guys close to any mountains for, like, skiing?
No. We have some hills in, like, northern Michigan that you can go to around, like, Traverse City area. You can go up there and ski, but it's not like Colorado or any of that stuff, Utah.
Okay.
It's nothing like that, or even whatever, California, right?
Got you. Yeah,
not that I've ever skied there, but there's stuff you can do. But I think Sacramento would be more of a Midwestern upbringing, right, than a Southern California.
It feels very similar with all my Midwestern friends. Like Sacramento is between San Francisco and Tahoe. To get like a geographical thing. And it's very it's pretty friendly. Like if you stop and ask somebody how they're doing, like they'll tell you how they're doing or like the full thing. It's not like I don't have time. And even like politically, it's a mix. It's not like San Francisco is definitely more of like a liberal like bubble, I would say.
Sure, yeah.
And then some other places it's like, okay, more conservative. Sacramento is a good blend of everything because it's like it's the capital too, so it's just got like every crowd. As a comic, it was great.
Yeah, that's how Comedy Castle is going to be. You can't assume they're all Democrats. You can't assume they're all, you know, Trumpies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's going to be a mixture of people. So it'll be
my favorite. It's my favorite shows because you can kind of say everything. Like other times, it's like you feel like either they're, you know, you kind of feel like what they are comfortable with or what they want, and I'm like, I don't want to pander or play the opposite thing where I'm trying to just shock, you know. I kind of like being able to talk about whatever and everyone like looks around and sees like, oh, who's relating with this, or like, oh, that's totally that
who's
guy.
Who's getting uptight?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be fun. Hey, I just want to ask you about this because we got, I think about a year ago, we'll end on this. I think it's a good way to end the show. Mm-hmm. We got a Jollibee about a year ago in Metro Detroit. I think there's one. So it's not even close to me, but everybody raves about it. I watched you do a whole bit about Jollibee on YouTube. Tell me about the Jollibee experience and if I should get over there. Sell it.
You definitely go. Okay. Definitely go. I mean, it has the word joy in there, fried chicken.
Okay.
Chicken joy.
Chicken. All right.
I would say it's known for their fried chicken.
Okay.
But they also sell like burgers, french fries, hot dogs, and spaghetti.
Okay.
But definitely known for their fried chicken. Their dessert is incredible.
All right. Dessert.
It's just like a little peach mango pie.
Yeah, you
like,
gave away a pie. That's what I saw you do.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's like I don't even know why I gave that away because it's my favorite thing there.
It was for you.
It's so good. But Jollibee, like I grew up. My family, if there was a Jollibee in a city, we would go. Because we didn't have one in Sacramento originally, but they had one in San Francisco. I don't know. It's just a very like Filipino nostalgic pastime.
Right.
But
what makes it really weird versus other fast food, though? Like, what about like the combination of things, though? Because I think that isn't that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they have so much like. The spaghetti, this is a very Filipino version of spaghetti. It's a little bit sweeter.
Mm.
And they put hot dogs in the spaghetti.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is different.
So if you want to try something different, it's definitely that. I would say that's probably the main thing to like try. That's like a Filipino thing.
All right. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Jollibee. Yeah, it's a little far from where I live, but maybe I could get over there.
Yeah.
Next time I'm on side of town.
How far is it from the club?
It'd be probably in a car, 30, 35 minutes, probably.
Maybe I'll Uber Eats it to the club one of the nights. The whole staff could have some.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thing. Because, you know, Michigan, we don't have all the, you know, we're still definitely like regional fast food, you know. So we don't have In-N-Out here. We've got Shake Shack. You know, it's one of those towns. We just got Chick-fil-A a couple years ago.
Hey, there's just some good, if those are draft picks, those are good draft picks. Those are first rounders.
Well, we're trying. We're getting there. Building a team. Yeah. Building a roster.
It's a rebuild year.
All right, so this weekend, Comedy Castle, 5 shows. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's my first time at the Comedy Castle.
Okay, but you've played in Michigan before?
I've played the Royal Oak.
The theater, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was like 2022 or 2023.
Yeah, because it's like definitely a different vibe. I've been in that theater, and you know, they're in a way they're a rival for bookings and stuff down there.
Oh, really?
But here's the deal: it's we have about almost 400 seats in our club, and it's intimate, and people are sitting right there. People are getting table service; they're getting their drinks at their table, so people can really be focused in on the show. And you know, if you're going to talk to them, they're right there. You'll be able to see them. And really have a good time with them. Not putting down that theater. That's a nice theater.
Sure.
But when it comes
to benefit to the club, the club feel,
absolutely.
Especially when you want, as a comic, depending on what you're working on or where you're at, like there's something about the intimacy of the club that's always like you always return to.
I think from an audience's perspective, if you're wanting to watch the show, it's always going to be better at the Comedy Castle than Royal Oak Music Theater. Maybe I'm biased.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I've been to shows. Yeah. My girlfriend's like, oh, we got to go see Impractical Jokers at Royal Oak. I'm like, okay, we'll go. And then I go, and I'm like, this would have been way better at our place.
Yeah. You know, I've heard sometimes I'll hear people say, like, I saw this person. Like, it wasn't as good as I thought it'd be. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes it's because they're in the arena.
Yeah.
Like, you just aren't feeling the comedy show as much as you would if you were in a like more intimate space. Just because comedy like feels so good in that space. But I get if you can sell an arena, of course you're going to do an arena.
Yeah, I mean,
and try to make the best arena show possible. But,
Yeah. But this is going to be a fun weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be seeing you. I should be there every night. And sounds great. Hey, thanks for talking to me, JR. And we'll make sure.
Yeah, likewise.
I'm your son, Papa. If you want to just see a little bit of what JR is up to, watch that special because it's terrific. I really enjoyed it. I watched your dad sing at the end. That was fun.
I love that.
Bit, but that's great.
I love that. No, it's totally good.
Yeah.
Well, and, thanks for watching it, man.
Absolutely, man. And I'm really looking forward to shows. Thanks for talking to me today.
Sweet. Likewise.
All right,
Jared. Appreciate it, Joe.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Well, I don't think I'm going to Jollibee, but maybe I should. I don't know. Hot dogs and spaghetti? Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking forward to hanging out with JR a little bit this weekend at the club and seeing what he's all about. Really going to enjoy these shows. They're going to be different. Every show is going to be different because he improvises these songs. And he's such a great guitar player, and he's such a great singer. This should be great. Young guy doing his thing, you know, did the viral videos. We didn't really get into that in the interview. I was going to go there, but we kind of ran out of time. We were just talking, having a nice time. I hope you enjoyed that interview. His special, if you want to see a little bit of what he does, I'm Your Son, Papa. But there's a lot of great clips. There's a great Jollibee clip that's on YouTube. A lot of great stuff. So, JR, thanks for talking to me. Really looking forward to this weekend. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Got to give it up for you guys. People telling me about the show. Last week, there wasn't a show. People were like, why wasn't there a show? Well, just wasn't. There's a lot of stuff going on in my life. I think last week more than anything, it was actually my birthday last week. That was part of it, too. I didn't want to work hard on my birthday week. But, hey, JR's here this weekend. He's going to rock the house. I want to see you guys there. Comedy Castle, comedycastle.com, of course, always for your tickets. And there's information about the comedy classes up there. So, hey, come check out JR. It's going to be a fun week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, all right, guys? Let's do that. Let's promise you a show next week. It's Memorial Day weekend. Maybe we'll have Josh Adams on. He's the headliner. But this week, JR DeGuzman. We'll see you there, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.